Welcome to The Road Back to Life with Ashley and Don, a program brought to you by patients for patients with kidney disease and their families. Hosted by The Road Back to Life, a mentoring group for kidney patients. For more information on The Road Back to Life, visit us at theroadbacktolife.com. Now, here's your hosts, Ashley and Don.
Thank you guys for being here. And this is actually part two of a two-part show with our guest, Charity. Thanks again, Charity, so much for being here and doing this show and doing two parts with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Well, and of course, like I said in the first part, we are all in our own homes because of COVID-19. So we're able to record from our own homes, be safe, and follow the guidelines that our specific states have put in place. I am here on Camino Island in Washington, and Don, of course, is over in Colorado Springs, Colorado. How are you, Don?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And it's snowing here. Of course, it's Colorado, and we're right at the foothills of Pikes Peak here, and anything can happen. So. I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of Charity's story. We have some interesting things to talk about as we finish up here. So, Ashley, back to you.
Thanks. So, we're hoping that if you are listening to part two, that you've already listened to part one. If not, definitely go back and give part one a listen. You'll hear Charity's story, about how she was diagnosed, what type of kidney disease she has, and how that kind of affected her life and emotionally and physically. So really, really good story. A lot of great information there. So definitely make sure that you listen to part one. So part two, we just want to continue on with Charity and her story and her different experiences that she's gone through. And last, when we were talking to her, we talked about how she received her first kidney transplant and how that went, how that affected her emotionally and physically, especially since you were diagnosed at such a young age of only 16. So then you had mentioned that you lost your first kidney transplant and that you had to go back on dialysis. Can you tell us a little bit more about all of that?
Sure. So when I got my kidney transplant, I don't recall anybody mentioning that there was a timeline on these things. So 11 years in, when they tell me that I'm at 20% kidney function, that was emotionally devastating because here I am, 36 years old, and thinking, wait a minute, I thought this was supposed to last forever. I was planning on taking this transplant into old age, right? And so that was really difficult. And I wanted to do everything I could to maintain as long as I could. And as soon as I was at 20%, you can get listed again on the transplant list. And so that's what I did. And my hope and goal was that I would go from transplant to transplant so I wouldn't have to go back on dialysis. Sadly, that didn't work out. I went from 20% to, I don't even know what it was a year later, but I had to go back on dialysis within a year. So my transplant lasted a total of 12 years. That is when I found out that back then, the average lifespan for a cadaver transplant was 9 to 10 years. And so they were telling me, hey, you got 12 years, that's good. And I'm like, gosh, all right, well, I'm 37 now, and how many more of those am I going to get before I, get to the end of this life? Yeah, so it was tough. Definitely,
I think,
not what I was expecting.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I'm working on 17 years. Mine wasn't a cadaver. My daughter gave me the kidney. But even at that, they told me when I got it in 2003 that I could expect to have it somewhere between 5 to 7 years maximum.
Wow.
And here I told my daughter and I told them, well, that's your timeline. It's not my timeline. And I'm going to make this thing last as long as I can, you know? And I think that's the attitude each person has when they get transplanted. I don't care what kind of a transplant you got, whether it's the liver or kidneys or heart or lungs or whatever, you know, you gotta look at it in longevity. And quite honestly, you know, we think that sometimes these things are, once they go away, they don't come back. And so therefore nobody will allow us to have another one, you know? And it's pretty special when we do. So now here you are, you're on back on peritoneal dialysis, your choice of dialysis.
Yep.
I don't hear you whining about it. I don't hear you complaining about it. I don't hear you saying, poor me, pity me. Instead, you're here talking to people. Hopefully that will be encouraged. I hope. If they're not, gosh, I don't know what else we could do by your story. So just because you lost your first one, you haven't given up on your second transplant. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Well, interesting story. it's actually how I ended up meeting my husband, my current husband. So when my kidney was failing and I needed another transplant, the surgeon told me that my best bet was to find a living donor. And so I reached out to my pastor, actually, and because that was my biggest community, is my church, and told him that I needed another transplant, my kidney was failing, I didn't want to go back on dialysis, and hey, could you, you know, maybe toss it out there in a church email that I need a kidney and just see if anybody wants to donate a body organ, because I'd really appreciate it. And he thought that it would be better if I stood up in front of the church and told my story. So that wasn't my plan, but I did it. And that's always awkward, asking people, healthy people, to donate a body organ. It's not like borrowing somebody's car or something, you know, it's pretty intense. Anyways, I did that, and I actually got a lot of people asking me what they could do. And I got my transplant through Virginia Mason. So the transplant team gave me a bunch of cards to hand out to people with all the information that they would need to donate. And, one of those people, turned out to be my husband. I had been divorced prior to my kidney failing, my transplant failing. When I was, I want to say 36, I got divorced. And so I was a single gal looking for a kidney, and this nice gentleman, Mike, came up to me and said, hey, what do you got to do? And I was so nervous. I stuttered a lot because he was a very attractive man. And I must have told him that he needed to be in really good physical shape about 5 times. And he's like, okay, you know, and of course he worked out every day, so that wasn't a problem for him. Anyways, we got to talking, and he actually donated blood to find out what blood type he was, and he is not a match to me. But we started dating, and actually it was a bit of a whirlwind, and got married right before my kidney actually failed and I went on dialysis. So we got married in February of 2016, and I went on peritoneal dialysis in March of 2016. He didn't donate a kidney, but he has been quite helpful in this dialysis process. I'm listed again on the transplant list. I'm just waiting.
How long have you been on the list?
5 years now.
And it sounds like you have really good support in your life through your husband. I mean, even listening to you talk about him and how you guys met, seems like you're all smiles and you still get butterflies about your story. Just so sweet. But where are you on this journey, and what has helped you get through to this point?
Oh, gosh. I've been on the list, like I said, for 5 years. I've been on peritoneal dialysis again for 4 years. I actually got my first call for transplant about a month ago. I was third in line. So normally the first two people get a kidney, and then the third person is like, you know, in line just in case something doesn't work out with the first two. So I was that person. They tested my blood with the donor, and I ended up having, I think it's called a positive cross match, where your blood reacts to the donor blood. So I couldn't have gotten that kidney anyways. And they let me know that. And my reactivity is fairly high. And that just has to do with the fact that I've had a transplant already. I've had multiple blood transfusions. Your reactivity goes up with all those things. So it's harder to match you with somebody. They say that my blood will react like negatively to 80% of the population. So, which is why the surgeon recommended that I try to find a living donor. But that hasn't worked out. Nobody matches me. So I wait. And, you know, I can't do much. I don't do the job that I used to do. I was a dental assistant for years, and I'm not able to do that while I'm on dialysis. And so that's a bit of a challenge, because I'm not working full time anymore, because I loved my job. But I'm newly married. We've been married for 4 years. We just bought a condo a year ago. I have a beautiful water view that I enjoy looking at. I've got nieces and nephews that I try to be part of their life as much as possible. I've got a great support network, and I'm also newly a mentor for the Road Back to Life, and that's been a really cool opportunity to talk to other kidney patients and help them you know, learn about dialysis, learn about transplant, learn that this doesn't have to be a death sentence, that life isn't over just because you have kidney failure. I really enjoy doing that. It's people appreciate that, you know, and I wish that I had had that, you know, when I went on dialysis, there was no group, there was nobody to talk to me about this. I was surrounded by what I assumed at 20 years old was a bunch of old people, and, you know, nobody that I could relate to, right? So I really enjoy talking to people about, you know, what I've experienced, because I've tried all the different treatments, you know, transplant, hemodialysis, peritoneal dialysis. So, you know, it's always nice to hear somebody else's story and know, oh, okay, I'll be okay too. If they can make it, I can make it, right? So that's kind of where I'm at. This whole COVID thing is a bit difficult.
Yeah, and it's that very thing, that the reason the Road Back to Life was started was to reduce fear and to bring hope, and let them see somebody who doesn't look sick. May still be an old person, but he doesn't look sick. and you know, hear what they've been through and how they got through it, just, such as yourself. You know, you're married now, and you seem like you're happy, and everything is kind of like in place for your life. It sounds like you've got maybe not everything, but a lot of things. And the one big key or piece to this puzzle is a kidney.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's a kidney. And right now we're fighting this whole COVID-19 thing, and our transplants are only being done, according to the information the Road Back to Life has gotten, on an emergency basis. And that's not necessarily individuals that are on kidney, that have kidney failure. It's probably more along the lines of heart, lungs, and liver that are probably going to be transplanted, because there is no machine for them to hook into. I feel for them. I really do. They, you know, if you have an organ that's going to fail, kidneys are probably, I hate to say this, the best option, because we can always go to one or the other form of dialysis to keep us going until we get transplanted, if we can get transplanted.
Right.
So COVID-19 has kind of put the kibosh to all that, and the surgeons that do that now are being used elsewhere in hospitals that are packed to the max, and nobody wants to bring in and out a patient into that situation and try to keep them safe. So they've postponed it and put everything kind of like on hold. I know that's not what you want to hear.
Right.
but you're dealing with it, you know?
Absolutely.
And I don't want to sound preachy here, but what helped me get through was a sense of humor. I learned to laugh about things that maybe weren't that funny, but it was the only thing I could do to get through. The other part was I had a support system in place, and that support system also included my church, not just family and friends, and so that helped quite a bit. I also know that I had a medical team that was there, starting from my nephrologist or kidney doctor. all the way to my primary care physician. And that helped me. What keeps you going?
I think we're similar in a lot of ways. My faith is important. I don't talk a lot about that, but I mean, especially going through my divorce and going through kidney failure kind of on my own at that point. My church and the people in my small group at church, my friends, my pastor, and honestly, just prayer. I've always felt that God provided for me, you know, and had a purpose for me. For some reason, I'm still alive. And I, especially early on, I had a doctor. He would just tell me straight out when I went into his office, "Oh, you're still alive. Good." And I'm like, yeah, I guess so. Here I am. Another appointment. And I feel like that was the Lord. I'm here for a reason, and I'm not going anywhere until he says, so he takes care of me. That's my rock, I guess. And, then more recently, my husband, and, I'm really close to my sister. I'm close to my mom. So, you know, lots of people to support me. So that's how I get through.
And boy, this feedback is crazy. Anyway, okay. Knowing the fact that a transplant is still available out there and it's not shut down permanently and it's a temporary thing. And we as a nation will get through this COVID-19. We as individuals will get through this stuff. And you as an individual will go back on the list and we'll get your kidney. That's my prayer.
Mine too.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I think we here at the Road Back to Life would also like to tell individuals out there that, you know, there's no future in giving up. There's no guarantees in life. And life gives us a hand of cards. You know, some are better than others. But it's up to us to take a look at that hand and make the best hand out of that we possibly can. It may take a little more work. It may take whatever it takes. But, you know, certainly giving up doesn't get you there. So we encourage you, as your listener, to seek and the doctors that will work for you, seek out the support, seek out the truth in all of this stuff. Don't listen to the stories, the horror stories that are out there. Lord, there's a lot of them. If you find that doesn't work and you need to talk to somebody, you can always talk to one of our mentors here at the Road Back to Life. You could just email us at mail@theroadbacktolife.com. And we'll be glad to contact you in whatever form you'd like to have contact with. And I don't care where you live. And the other part of that is we as a people during this time just need to, as younger people say, we just need to chill a little bit. We're going to be with each other for a while in close proximity and learn to love the imperfections and just continue to love one another. So this is Don with the Ashley and Don Show saying thank you, Charity. Thank you, Ashley. And thank you, listeners. Now be kind to one another. We hope this week's show has provided you with valuable information and inspiration you can apply to your life. Keep in mind, anything said on this show is for educational purposes only. As always, we encourage you to write down your questions and take them with you to your healthcare provider. If you have any questions for us or would like to talk to one of our mentors at The Road Back to Life, please feel free to email us at mail@theroadbacktolife.com and we'll be happy to assist you. Now be kind to one another.